This morning we'll be speaking on the resurrection and election. They go together. They go together. In Romans chapter 5, we'll begin reading with verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all sinned, have sinned. For unto the law sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come, talking about Christ. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one man be dead, such more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. And not as it were one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is to many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign to in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all to condemnation. That's the whole human race sinned in Adam. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. That all men there is referring to God's elect. Now, the those who believe in general redemption want to make that mean everybody in the world, but it applies to, as we're going to see, to the elect. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. So we see then there, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but when sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. As we get into this verse this morning, this subject, there's two men representative. There's Adam was a representative of the human race. Jesus Christ is a representative of the elect race, those chosen in him. First Adam was a type of Christ, the first Adam. And then in 1 Corinthians 4:15, Christ is called the last Adam. So he's the first man and last man, second man is Christ. Two acts, one's trespasses, one man's sin, one man's disobedience, brought the whole world into condemnation. One man's act of righteousness, one man's act of obedience. So Christ's obedience is imputed to us for righteousness. So we stand in Adam as in the human race, the elect. See, that's what confuses a lot of people. How can you be condemned and yet be righteous at the same time? Because you have to remember, there's two heads. Adam is the first head. In the sense of time, we fell in Adam. So in Adam, we're condemned. But we were chosen when? In Christ before when? Before the foundation of the world. So in Christ, we're righteous. But he had to come and die for us and redeem us and save us. And his righteousness is imputed to us from eternity. So we see that these two men represent the whole human race. One represents the race, the fallen race. One represents God's elect race, those in the everlasting covenant. Two results. Adam equals sin, death, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Why is there judgment coming? For all sinned in Adam. Judgment and condemnation. You're condemned already. In other words, if you're not a believer, you're under condemnation because you're under the condemnation in Adam. We're born condemned. We're born in condemnation because of our unity with Adam. Christ means the free gift, the grace, righteousness, eternal life, justification, the acquittal of all our sins in Christ. So in Christ is where all the blessings come. Being chosen in him. Adam is a race head, represented to his people, the entire human race, all in Adam. Christ represented the seed of the covenant, Hebrews 13:20, when he speaks about the covenant of God's people. He's great shepherd of the sheep in the blood of the everlasting covenant. Christ represents his people. Dave mentioned that sermon. For his name should be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He represents his people, all in Christ. The resurrection of Christ and his elect, the eternal covenant people. The elect, the last Adam, the second man, the God-man, 1 Timothy 3:16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up to glory. And he's coming again one day to resurrect the bodies that are in the graveyard. And those who are alive will be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. So remember, by Adam came death, in Adam all died. By Christ came the resurrection, in Christ all shall be made alive. All those who are in the covenant of grace will be quickened and made alive in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah for that. Believing, every man in his own order. Christ is the first fruits. Notice Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. It says, he's the first, for whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. We will be conformed to his image completely at the resurrection. And it says in Hebrews 2:9-13, we should all be of one. We should all be of one. In Romans, it speaks about the election of grace. The election of grace, Romans chapter 11, 5-6. God emphasizes, Paul does there, either it's of grace or it's of works. If it's works, then it's no more of grace. And if it's grace, it's no more of works. Beloved, it's by the grace of God that we're saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. The elect were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. That's another blessing we see. According as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. So we see then that we were chosen unto salvation. And Paul speaks in 1 Corinthians 15, when Jesus comes, we'll see this in a few minutes, in his second coming, he says he's coming for those that are his. His. He's coming for those that are his. Now, I believe in particular redemption, and I believe in particular resurrection. Now, you may disagree with me on this. That's fine. And what do I mean by that? I believe that in if we study the Word of God, our forefathers believed in particular redemption, that Christ shed his blood for his elect. And for the elect only. He did not die for the sins of the whole world. He did not shed his blood in vain. He did not die for someone who's in hell crying and weeping. No. Everyone he died for will be resurrected and will be in glory. Now, I also believe in the particular resurrection. In other words, the first resurrection is the resurrection of the just. Jesus is coming for who? His people. His people. Now, I'm just giving you this as free. There's no charge for this now. You can. There's a lot of difference on this. Brother Zach, Brother Jimmy, Brother Hadfield, and myself and others, we differ on some of these things when it comes to the second coming of Christ. But I'm just throwing this out to give you a little information. When Jesus is coming, he said himself, he's coming for his people. And I believe at that moment is the resurrection of the just. Now I'll leave it there, and we'll go on. He's coming for his sheep. They're called his sheep. And my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. So he's coming for his sheep. He's coming for believers. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing. Now remember, if the two representatives, Adam represents the human race, Christ represents God's chosen. If, according to the Arminian, Christ represents the whole world, if that's true, then all will be saved. There will be universal redemption. He says, I've lost none whom I'm died for. If he died for the world, the whole world is going to be redeemed. If you look at the Word of God and accept it, you can see how that view of general redemption just does not hold. It will not stand up to the test of God's Word. And this is the will of him that sent me, of everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. One day we're going to be resurrected. If we're in a graveyard, resurrected from the grave according to the promise of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Also, we're called many brethren. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that we might be the firstborn among many brethren. And that's brothers and sisters in the Lord. Many sons, Hebrews 2:10. For it behooved him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. And we're all of one. For both he that sanctifieth, talking about Christ, and they who are sanctified, talking about the elect, are all of one. We're one body, one family, the chosen of God. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. We're called the children of God, children of God. And again, I will put my trust in him. Hebrews 2:13. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. When did God give the children of God to Christ, Brother Roger? Before the world began. Before the world began. Now, we don't know that we're children of God until we believe and it's manifested to us. As far as we're concerned, we don't know we're a child of God or not. But when we're quickened, when we believe and we follow Christ, then it's an evidence that we are children of God and sons of God. Also, it says, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. We're called little children, little children. At his coming and appearing, I'm looking forward to that day. Now, I know we're each one concerned about our loved ones. If we're not, there's something wrong with us. We should be concerned for our children. We should be concerned for our brothers and sisters. We should be concerned with our friends and those who are outside of Christ. We need to be praying for them. I'm looking forward for a homecoming, as it says in John 14. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go and prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So where are we going to be? Where Christ is. Where Christ is. Now we know we're going to heaven, and we know that paradise is in heaven. We don't know, have all the answers to all those subjects, but we know that when Christ takes us, we will be with him where he's at. We're waiting for the sounding of the trumpet. That's going to be a sound that I'm looking forward to hearing, that sound of the trumpet, when the last trump sounds. It says in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. There's the resurrection of the just. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Beloved, that trumpet's going to sound, and there'd be a resurrection of the just. Now, just to be fair on this subject, now those who hold the amillennial view will say that that's the resurrection of the just and the unjust, because they believe in one general atonement, one general resurrection of the just and unjust at the same time. I believe in the resurrection of the just at the coming of Christ after the 1,000-year reign, and at the end, And when the destruction of the earth, when there's a new heaven and new earth, that happens after the millennial reign of Christ, then that would be the resurrection of the unjust. Now, that's how I see it. You're entitled to disagree. Now, I won't have no hard feelings. But our forefathers believed in particular redemption. Men like William Kiffin, Hanson Knowles, John Gill, John Moore believed in a thousand-year reign of Christ on the earth, and that Christ was, and that the end would be after the millennium. Now, there's others during the same time believed in the amillennial position. I could give you a little history, but I believe in particular redemption, as I say, and I believe you do too. And there is various beliefs about this. I don't force my view on anyone. I'm just giving you some information that you can think about. The dead in Christ rise first. And we which are alive, and alive, if we're alive, we'll be changed and called up to meet the Lord in the air. 1 Thessalonians 4:17. And Christ says in 1 Corinthians 15:23, they that are Christ at his coming. Who's he coming for? They that are Christ at his coming. 1 Corinthians 15:23. That's the resurrection of the just. We shall be changed in the moment in the likeness of Christ and meet the Lord in the air. Hallelujah. Now, at that point, we kind of all agree. Whether you believe in a thousand-year reign or you don't believe in a thousand-year reign, to this point, we all meet the Lord in the air. It's what happens after that where there's a little disagreement. But the Word of God says plainly in Revelation 20 that we shall reign on the earth for 1,000 years. Then is when the end comes, the day of God, the day of when the destruction of the earth, all of that happens after the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Those who don't believe in that believe it all ends when we meet the Lord in the air. Now, you can take either side that you, the Lord leads you to see it. I'm very flexible. I don't hold that as a test of fellowship with the brethren. Then, now at this point, all former things are passed away. All things are new. That's after the millennium. Okay? Now then, keep it clear that you understand to some of those that happens at the second coming of Christ. I just want to give you a little, if you can see both sides of what I'm saying. It says, but I have a few things against thee, because thou hast hold them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, which taught Balak to cast a stumbling stone before the children of Israel to eat things sacrificed unto idols and commit fornication. Behold, I make all things new. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these are the words are true and faithful. There shall be new heavens and new earth. Now here again, new heavens and new earth. Revelation 21:1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And Peter says, nevertheless, 2 Peter 3:13, we according to his promise look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. This happens after the 1,000-year reign of Christ, in my view. We will be given new abodes at our homecoming, as it says, John 14:1. In my Father's house are many mansions. That word a mansion is abodes, if you look it up. If it were not so, I would have told you. Every one of God's people will have a dwelling place. You won't be on the outside building tents up and living in tents. You'll have your own personal abode. God has already prepared. There's a song out, I Can Only Imagine. I don't know if you heard that song or not. I Can Only Imagine. The person that wrote that song, he did a lot of thinking like we all think. We can only imagine how it's going to be in heaven. It's going to be glorious. Glorious. This earth and the things in this earth is all going to be done away. And then I believe there will be new heavens and new earth. It says, wherein dwelleth righteousness. We're going to come back and dwell, I believe, on earth. This will be our habitat. Now, I'm not saying we can't go to heaven and come back down. There's a lot I don't know. But it does say we're indwelleth righteousness. I believe in a sense earth will be redone kind of like the Garden of Eden. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be beyond anything we can imagine. And the holy city is going to come down. We look for a city whose builder and maker is God. We have so much to look forward to. It's exciting. It's exciting, these things. New heavens and new earth. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And then we have our abodes. We would sing a new song. A new song. Can you imagine? We sing here sometime when you've got 30, 40, 100, 200 people in the church. I've been in churches with 5,000 where they sang Amazing Grace. Can you imagine when all the saints of God are in heaven and we sing a new song? Boy, that's going to be something to hear, Sister Geneva. That's going to really, really lift up. Oh, I tell you what. It says in Revelation 5:9, and they sung a new song saying, Lord, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. We sing a new song. We're going to sing glory to the Lamb. I can only imagine how that's going to be, as that song says. I can only imagine. We will be given a new name according to Revelation 3:12. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and I shall go no more out. He shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven, my God. I will write upon him my new name. And we have to wait for that. That's going to be glorious. Going to be glorious. At our homecoming, we will be free from all evil. Now, here's comfort. Now, I still miss mother very much. I know you miss your mother and your father and your loved ones. But they're free from evil. They're free from sin. We don't have to worry about our parents being hurt during this confusion age in which we're living. Or them suffering, going through maybe, who knows, no food or no cities corrupting, start burning up homes and things happening. We don't know what could happen. But one thing we know for them, they're home and they are safe. No one can touch them. They're home with the Lord. They're home with the Lord. Until then, we pray to God. And Brother Dave quoted that verse, which is one of my favorite verses, that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. The Lord is our helper. No matter what we face, if we suffer, the Bible speaks in Philippians over there about suffering for his name's sake. We will suffer for his name's sake. It was given us not only to believe on him, but to suffer. We may be called in this generation to suffer for the glory of God. But when he calls us to suffer, he gives us the grace to suffer. I believe that. There's suffering grace, there's living grace, and I believe that the hour of death, there's dying grace given to each one of God's people. There remaineth a rest for the people of God in Hebrews 4:8-9. It says, for if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterwards have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Beloved, one day we will rest for eternity. We'll rest with Christ. We'll be at peace. We'll be at joy. Aren't you in your inward man yearning for that day, Roger, when Jesus comes again? I know when you're young, as some of you are, that's way out in the future. But, beloved, it could happen at any time. Things are happening so fast in this world. Look at what's going on in the Middle East with this peace treaty going on now. It's amazing. Some of the things are happening and developing, and it speaks about in the last days, the world. Globally, look what's happening globally. There's so much going on in the world. It's just, it staggers our imagination. As we think about this coming of the Lord, it should excite us. Christ is coming again. Christ is coming again. And Revelation 14:3 says, and they sung as it were a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. No man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. Jesus said in Revelation 22:20, "He which testifieth of these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus." That should be the prayer of every blood-bought saint of God on earth. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Are you looking? Are you watching? Are you expecting Jesus to come today? Or soon? Or tomorrow? The main thing is that we're watching. We don't know the hour when he's coming. I said one time, I can tell you when the Lord is coming. Then I gave the verse. He comes in the hour when you think not. No one, this world will be asleep, and he's going to appear in the hour when they think not. He's coming. But the main thing is, he's coming to take his people home. That's a wonderful thought. I come quickly. Now, to us, it quickly means immediately. But it's been almost 2,000 years. Because God has a timetable, and he's only going to come at the right moment. Some people believe when the last one of God's people enter into the fold, that's it. That trumpet's going to sound. Jesus is going to come back. The trumpet's going to sound. And we, which are dead, those that are in the graveyards, will be resurrected first to meet the Lord in the air. We which are alive, if we are alive, will be changed in the moment in the twinkling of an eye. Beloved, that is the word of God. That's the gospel. Jesus is coming again to redeem his people from the earth. This body has been redeemed. Christ is going to resurrect the body. Our loved one's body is in the graveyard, but only for a little while. It's going to be resurrected. It's not the end. That gives us hope. That gives us strength to say, yes, mother is dead, father is dead, my brother is dead, my sister is dead, my aunts and uncles. But I know one day, if they're children of God, they're going to be resurrected with a new body, Brother Dave. A new body. We should be like Christ. He could pass through walls. He could appear and disappear. We'll be the same. He could eat. He appeared to the disciples, and they had honey and fish, and they could drink in communion. They could drink wine. He said, "I won't drink it again until the new kingdom, the new earth, heaven and earth." That's going to be glorious, beloved. Wonderful, wonderful things that we have to look forward to. Verse 13 of Revelation, he says, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth." Blessed. Blessed are our parents who died in the Lord. They're blessed. I know, as we say, we miss them so much sometimes that it saddens our heart. And we wouldn't bring them back for nothing into this sinful, ungodly, wretched world. But we miss their presence. That's normal. That's normal. If a person didn't miss their loved ones, but Paul says, we'll read this in a moment, 1 Thessalonians, about the comfort. He says, "Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." That is a blessing indeed. The 1 Thessalonians, I'm going to read some of that. We start reading with verse 13. "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep." Now he's talking about those which are dead in the grave. He said, "I want to comfort you. I don't want you to be ignorant about what's going to happen to them. Those you love who are in the graveyard. Our grandparents, their grandparents, our cousins, our aunts, our uncles, they're all in the graveyard." Paul says, "Brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." Now, there's some people have sorrow because they have no hope. Some people believe when you're dead, that's it. You're like a chicken. But we believe when you die, the soul goes back to be with the Lord who gave it. And we believe that when Christ comes, we will be resurrected. See, we have a hope. It's called a blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's coming again to redeem the bodies from the grave. See, we're not saved until the body is united back to the soul, and we then will be one complete man or woman. We will be complete person when we bodies is resurrected, a new body. Sometimes we walk around and say, oh, I wish there was no more sin in me. I wish there was no pain. I wish there was no sorrow. I wish I had no suffering. That's days coming. The former things, Brother Dave, has passed away. Behold, all things have become new. No more tears, no more crying, no more sorrow, no more heartache. All that is in the past. We are like Christ. We will be, sin will be removed. And that'll be one of the greatest blessings in life. No more evil thoughts. No more unlawful desires. No more evil to contend with. No Satan to tempt us. No more temptations. No more pain. Oh, I hurt so bad. Or sorrow. I'm hurting so much inside my soul because of what some things going on. Those are all passed away. What a blessing, Brother Ron. What a blessing. It is, and that's why it's called the blessed hope and the glorious. It's going to be glorious. Appearing, manifestation of His Son, Jesus Christ. It's glorious appearing. Can you imagine that day when that trumpet is sounding and a whole world can see Christ being manifested in glory, coming in the clouds? And that sound can be heard throughout the whole world. And people see the resurrection bodies coming out of the graves. And we which are alive shall be changed. That's going to be one of the greatest blessings that we've ever will behold. Somebody said, asked a preacher, where do you want to be when the Lord comes? He says, I hope I'm in a graveyard. He wanted to be in the graveyard when all the saints' graves are open and all the saints of God start going up. That's going to be a glorious, glorious day. And it goes on to say, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. He's coming for his people. Again, I want to emphasize that. He's coming for his people, for the just. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. He's not sending an angel to get us. I like the way Paul puts it. The Lord himself is coming for his people. He's not going to send Gabriel. He's not going to send some other angel. He's coming. He's coming. But he says, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. I'm looking forward to that day. That's going to be glorious. There's coming an end to this world, beloved. We're not going to live forever in this world. There's coming a day when God's going to say, this is it. We're going to wind all this up. God has a purpose, and the hour. Jesus says, only the Father knows the hour when he comes. In other words, in his deity, he knew when the Son of Man was coming. But in his humanity, he was limited in his knowledge. Some people get confused. The Father knows, but Christ didn't know. He didn't know in his humanity. He had to grow in knowledge. He learned, just like we learn. And he knows beyond more than we will ever know. But some things God kept from him as a man, and that was one of them. His coming again. That's one of those mysteries. But oh, beloved, it goes on to say, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. I said, if I'm alive at the coming of Christ, I will meet the Lord. Now, I don't know whether she'll be my mother or my sister. She'll be my sister, I know, in the Lord. I'll meet my mother in the air. That's where we'll meet. And then if I'm dead, if I die before the Lord comes, then I'll meet her in glory. What a glorious blessing we have. We need to rejoice in these truths. This is just not a theological view. This is something to make our hearts rejoice, to be glad. Thank God for the Word of God, which comforts us in the loss of our loved ones. I don't think there's anything greater than losing those who are so closest to you as your parents or a child, knowing that one day we will see them again. That is comforting to know. It's not the end. Some people say, well, are you sure we're going to meet? Is there a hereafter? Some people sometimes when they get toward the end of life, they start questioning. Are you sure? I'm sure because God said it. It's the Word of God. It's the authority of God. By God's authority, He said He's coming again. We'll be resurrected from the grave. And those who are alive shall be changed in a moment, a twinkle of an eye. And Jesus says, surely I come quickly, and my reward is with me. He's coming. I believe Jesus told the truth, Brother Dave. Now, the atheistic world, the agnostic, make fun of the Word of God. They make fun of Jesus Christ. They make fun of Christians. But I believe one day, beloved, they're going to say, I wish I'd have believed those things. They reject it. What comfort is there in the atheist when he died? There's no comfort. No comfort at all. Paul says to you and I, don't sorrow now like the world. It's okay to cry. It's okay to mourn for those that are gone. But we have hope. That hope is a resurrection of the body from the grave. Reading this last few verses again. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. I like that part. Together. Together. Not just some of us, but all the God's people. Together. To meet. You know, you hear about going to a meeting. I'm going to meet the Lord in the air. That's going to be one of the greatest meetings that we'll ever will experience. To meet the Lord in the air. And Paul says, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. One thing for sure. Whether there's a millennium or not, we shall be with the Lord. Never where the Lord is, we will be with Him. And that's the comfort we have. That's the comfort. Wherefore, he says, comfort one another with these words. And beloved, I hope, I've kind of been scattered a little bit this morning, that a few of these things are difficult to bring out. But I pray that these things will comfort your heart. We're not living for today. We're living for eternity. Paul says, not looking at things which are seen, but looking at things which are not seen. Looking for things which are eternal. Paul says, set your affection on things above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. We should be thinking about the coming of the Lord, about heaven, about our abode in glory, about a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. These are the things that we need to meditate on, because we're getting closer and closer every day to be there. Especially Roger and I, we're getting closer and closer. Amen, Roger? And I tell you, the longer I live in this world, I say, like John, even so come, Lord Jesus. Are you ready to go? Are you ready to go be with the Lord? That's a blessing. That's a blessing. And Jesus said, don't fear him that can just kill the body. Fear him that can destroy both body and soul in Gehenna or Hades. Fear God. Fear God. Paul says our God is what? A consuming fire. God's holiness and greatness and majesty. God is so, we should stand in fear and trembling. But we can call God Father. Our Father. Our Father. Are you looking for the coming of Christ? May we pray. A gracious and loving Father, may you bless a few of these truths to our souls. Especially the coming of the Lord. Especially the hope of the resurrection of our bodies. The resurrection of loved ones who are in the graveyard. We know we shall meet again, either in the air or in glory. But the main thing we take comfort in, Lord, is that we shall be ever with the Lord, with you. No matter what happens after your coming, we will be with you. and that comforts us in all our afflictions. Give us grace and give us strength to study these things out and to know the Lord Jesus Christ and to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And we pray that all the things of this life that we need may be added unto us. For in Christ's name we pray and give thanks. Amen. Does someone have a song in closing?